Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I also write a spec newsletter called Turner's Take Market Alert and a hedging newsletter for farmers all about the grain markets at Turner's Take Ag Marketing. You can find us on the web at turnerstake.com on the spec side and on the farming, agriculture, and hedge side, turnerstakeag.com. All my contact information is in the show notes. I'm a broker here at Daniels. I work with broker-assisted traders online. We also offer online services, which is fantastic if you just want to receive research and do things on your own. We also have a hybrid service, which is a mix of both, and we work with speculators and hedgers, farmers, producers also. So let's get into what's been going on here. I think the big news since we last talked last week is really what's been the deal with China, the United States, and trade policy. We had recently had an announcement that the Chinese will try to import $25 billion worth of goods annually for U.S. agriculture products. Now, that's not going to happen tomorrow. And just to give you an idea, a frame of reference, like right now China imports about $20 billion worth of ag products from the United States. So this would more than double it. But when you devil's in the details, when you look at it, one, it's not finalized. But two, when it does, I mean, both sides recognize it will take anywhere between 2 to 5 years to get up to that $25 billion expectation. So that doesn't mean it's not going to start for 2 years. I mean, it may start to pick up now. But to get to that number that they're talking about, you know, it sounds like a 2 to 5 year deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was closer to five. But in the meantime, it should be supportive of prices on the demand side. Now, who are going to be the big winners here in terms of the grain and ag markets? I don't know how much more beans, China can really will want to take on from us. They already buy half our beans for exports now, and we have 90 million acres of soybeans. And they're going to have to also buy beans from South America. You can't shut them out because they are also the other supplier. And let's face it, we need them too. China needs them. The world needs them for soybeans. So, you know, I think, I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of stays the same as if it's a 50-50 deal or close to that, whatever it may be, you know, China buying beans from South America and the United States. But where it could get interesting is the corn side. China really doesn't import any corn from us, or if they ever do, it's very materially insignificant. But, you know, if China uses more ethanol, we may see some more corn demand going over to China. If they relax their requirements in terms of the GMO that we have here, that would be good for us too. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, you know, and I'm sure they have to work all that stuff out at the table. And that's not going to happen tomorrow, right? So I think the increased demand for corn going from the United States to China is unlikely for this marketing year. Not just because this is a relatively new deal, but they have to sort out the whole GMO stuff also. Wheat would be interesting. Non-GMO wheat to start would be interesting. And let's face it, you know, if there's been one of all the major grain markets of the past couple of years, you know, the one that could use the most help is the wheat market. You know, when I saw the administration make that announcement, I kind of thought in my head, you know, his slogan or a variation of his slogan, make wheat great again, just because, man, it's really got beaten up here over the past 5 or 10 years even, you know. You know, the United States used to be a huge player in the wheat export game, and now we're really just, you know, we're the highest cost, and wheat really prices have to come down for the United States just to be competitive sometimes on the world export market. So if this trade deal could help wheat demand, that would be a very big win, because there is going to be demand for corn. And there's definitely going to be demand for soybeans. Like, I don't think you have to create demand for soybeans. We live in a protein world now. You know, the world population is getting wealthier, and as they get wealthier, they have more of a protein diet. So the bean, I don't think you need to help. The bean growth, you know, soybean demand in the United States, and also from an exporting point of view, has natural, healthy demand drivers that are going to help that market. The pickup in corn will definitely be good. But the wheat, we've always made the argument here, or I have, is, you know, to get a demand driver in wheat is difficult for the United States, and this could be it. So, just to give you also a pretty good frame of reference here, $25 billion a year, you know, $25 billion divided by $4 a bushel for something is about a little over 6 billion bushels. So, like, you know, let's just say China wanted to buy 25 billion bushels of corn, which is crazy, but let's just say they did. At $4, that's 6 billion bushels of corn, right? So that's, you know, that's obviously not going to happen, but if China bought 500 million or a billion bushels of corn from the United States, that would be a big deal, and you know, that would be anywhere between $3 billion to $6 billion a year from China flowing into the corn market. Now, that could happen, not this year, but that could happen down the road, and I think that's very beneficial for the... So if people ask me today, they're asking, well, what does, you know, this announcement mean? In my mind, it means future demand of maybe 500 million bushels to a billion bushels in the next 5 years, maybe being part of our export expectations to China. Or maybe that's just too high. I mean, I'm just kind of spitballing there. But that 25 billion has to go somewhere. And if 20% of it went to corn, 10 to 20% of it went to corn, that could be 500, that could be a half billion to a billion in corn exports per year. So just keep that in mind. It's a good frame of reference. And as this, again, we're going to keep on saying this, devil's in the details on this one, and we'll just have to see what they say. But with wheat, you know, you would think there'd be some wheat buying. If China imports wheat, and I think last year China imported about 8 million metric tons. 8 million metric tons times about 36 bushels, which is the bushels to metric ton conversion rate. So that's 8 million metric tons. 8 million metric tons times 36, 288. So just under 300 million bushels of wheat is what China imported. If they imported that from us, maybe not all 300 million, but 100 million or 200 million bushels a year, to add that to the exports would actually help a lot. You know, the wheat market just seems to be stuck in between these ending stock, these ending stocks of 800 million, 900 million, a billion on the ending stocks for wheat. You know, for the United States, if we could add 100 to 300 million of exports, that would be fantastic. And just to get to what would that actually mean? You know, let's say 100 million bushels times $4, 400 million worth of wheat. You know, if you buy, that wouldn't be $4, it'd be closer to five. So 500. So 200,000 bushels, or say 200 million bushels times like $5 would be about $1 billion. So there we go. That could be a demand driver, you know, for wheat going forward. If I'm just doing some quick math in my head here, I should probably do an Excel spreadsheet or in a calculator. But just to, you know, really start to think about, you know, what this all could mean, you know, maybe that helps the wheat story too. So I think wheat could be the big winner, just depending on how this deal structures out. And if that's the case, we could see maybe wheat in one day actually trying to find bushels. Another potential big winner could be the livestock and the meats industry. And after that announcement came out, we did see, especially the beef market, or the livestock market, jump. But you also got to keep in mind we've had months of some pretty negative outlooks on livestock. The cattle on feed reports have been showing a huge wave of cattle coming on. Cash prices have been coming down. The product prices have been coming down. And cattle really got beat down in the past 2 months. So when that China news came out, I mean, anyone who'd been short or looking to take profits probably took him, which kind of probably exaggerated that move in the cattle market higher. So that's the lay of the land of what we're seeing right now. We'll talk much more about it. I mean, the fact of the matter is if China's going to double or more than double their the money they spend on agriculture products from the United States, structurally this is going to change things. And I think it's going to be more of a changer in corn and wheat than it is for soybeans because the demand is already there. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's, in my mind, it's, I think we would just create big shortages of soybeans if we, as said, China had to increase their, you know, instead of buying, you know, double their imports, you know, in soybeans from us, would just seem to, I think we'd just have huge shortages. We'd have big problems. I don't know where we would do for crush in this country. So I think it's going to be more about corn and wheat. Like wheat, when you look at these balance sheets, it's wheat is the one that sticks out so poorly, and you're like, geez, can we get something going in this market? So we'll see what happens here. All right, so real quickly, too, on our positions, I'm gonna just go in between like the spec and the hedge side. For the farmers out there, we just put out an ag market marketing report today. We had sold, made some cash sales earlier in the season. Usually we'll sell like 20 or 30% during some of the South American rallies, you know, and then this time of year, you know, around planting and also the growing season, we may try to sell 20 or 30%. And usually the goal is to get about at least 50% sold by like the 4th of July. We're hedged or sold, you know, because you can always carry the other stuff, you know, as we get into later in the summer and through harvest. If you want to carry old crop, that's great. But usually we like to get hedged or sold, you know, the new crop by the time we get done with the summer rallies, right? So we did have some recommendations, you know, to do that in wheat, soybeans, and corn today. So if you're a client here and you get Turner Steak Ag Marketing, take a look at that. We haven't made a cash sell recommendation in a long time. And also if, you know, as a farmer, you always want to be able, you know, to book some profits or, you know, good prices when you can. I can understand the feeling of not wanting to miss out. So we did have some, you know, relatively low cost re-ownership plays where just in case the market takes off, you can do that. So check that out. In terms of the spec guys, and take into account everything I just said, I still like Deese corn. I've been writing about it. If you want to see, we even added on, if you want to see how we're managing that risk and what prices we're looking for and where we're going and what we think the potential rally could be and why, you're going to have to check out Turner's Take Market Alert. And if you're a client here and broker-assisted, you can always give me a call too. But even for the online guys who are clients here and, you know, trading trading on your own but using our research and our newsletters, you know, just be on the lookout for that that information. In turn, what else, you know, with the... Oh, and, you know, for the farmers out there, we had sold some straddles. And it's funny, like, those straddles haven't moved that much. You know, like a $4 straddle when we sold it compared to where it is now really hasn't moved that whole much because over time, even though the price has got, corn's gone up 20 cents, a lot of the time premiums come off because it's been like 3 or 4 months now. I think what we may eventually do, if we're really worried about a rally higher, we could take profits on the puts and buy a futures and make it a covered call strategy. Which is something I actually really like. So if you're a farmer and you have done some straddles in this market, you may be down like 5 or 10 cents. Meanwhile, corn's up like 30. So your cash is definitely outperforming that straddle play. But taking profits on the puts, buying the futures, having it a covered call, and having all that premium then wrapped up in that covered call, that short covered call, is a very interesting idea, and it's something I'm going to be talking with clients today, tomorrow, and into next week. By the way, you got Memorial Day weekend coming up, so we'll have Monday off too. Switching to soybeans, Nove beans. That's something I've been writing about and talking about. It hit one of our entry targets today. So I put a newsletter out on that. The bean market can be a wild ride, but I think we're going to be adding acres. I would not be surprised to see 90 million acres in soybeans when it's all said and done. You know, I think soybean seed technology has caught up with corn in some respects. You know, just looking at the weather over the past couple of years and how well soybeans have held up in some adverse weather, it almost reminds me of the technology improvements with the corn. And it seems like soybeans are really starting to get there too. So I think we're more likely to have a pretty good soybean crop than not, unless the weather really goes south on us in critical times. So I still think we're going to have 500 million carryout on the soybeans this year, and probably for new crop, old crop and new crop. I wouldn't think that China deal could probably throw a monkey wrench into it, but I think it's going to take time for them to work out the details. I do not see the whole China story playing out with this current crop year, marketing year. You could definitely see it start to take shape for next cropping year or be a material where you can actually see some big improvements. But I also don't – I'd be very surprised if this was heavy on the soybean market in terms of the China buying more ag products. I mean, Trump probably wants China to buy more ag products that they're not already buying. You know, if China has to come to the United States and buy beans, China doesn't have to come and buy corn. China doesn't have to come and buy wheat. He probably wants them to do that. So that's where I think we're going to see the demand numbers be a little bit better and not so much with the beans. Anyways, that's my idea, and that's why I was writing the spec newsletter the way I do. If you're wondering why I'm not giving out trade recs on the podcast anymore, or, you know, all about, you know, specific recs compliantly, I really can't do it. You could probably read between the lines, but if you're a client here, you can get the newsletter. I'll tell you exactly what we're doing. And again, that would be in Turner's Take Market Alert for the spec side, or Turner's Take Ag Marketing for the hedgers. On the wheat, that's a very interesting story. Here we are with huge balance sheets in the wheat, but we've got weather problems in Argentina, Australia, Russia, Canada, and obviously we all know, or I hope we all know about the weather issues that we're seeing in the central plains for the wheat, and particularly Kansas and Oklahoma. That really has been the hard red wheat story, you know, of the season. So it's interesting, you know, if we keep on having issues around the world, we could really take off. We could also get some rain, and, you know, we come right back down. But and I also think as this China-U.S. deal develops more, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit of a gut feeling, but I just think we're going to be – I think the wheat farmers are going to get a bone here. And China – I wouldn't be surprised if China all of a sudden starts to import 100 or 200 million bushels of wheat a year from the United States. I would not be shocked at all. So we'll see – We'll see how that starts to go off. I think there's a protein story that could potentially happen in wheat. What that would mean in terms of the markets would, you know, keep an eye on the hard red winter wheat over the the soft red winter wheat. Hard red wheat is a higher protein level, so that'd be Kansas City over Chicago. If a protein story really is in the works here, then, you know, we would think Kansas City would continue to improve against Chicago. You know, if that's not the case, then it would go down. So the protein play, if you want to play, you know, protein being bullish, it's Kansas City versus Chicago. I have my own ideas on that. I haven't written about the newsletter recently, but I'm definitely going to. The other wheat story we were looking at is the spring wheat. I do have concerns about spring wheat losing acres to soybeans, but also some of the weather issues popping up now have to do with the spring wheat market, and that could be an issue. That could be an issue in Canada and some other parts of the world. I'm going to keep an eye on that July-September spread. For July-September in spring wheat, the Minneapolis wheat, that's actually new crop, old crop. And if we do have weather issues, if there's some serious weather issues or concerns about the crop, that spread will usually tell you, the market structure is either bullish or bearish. So that is, and again, from a spec side play, I like that. And if you have to sell spring wheat, you know, maybe reowning and buying the old crop you just sold, and then selling the new crop kind of makes sense too, where it could be a re-ownership for the old crop and eventually a hedge for the new crop, and you can kind of play the spread. So I like that a lot for the spring wheat. I did write about crude oil last week. We were trying to get bear spread. We had a price target out there. Unfortunately, we missed it. It didn't hit our price. Oh, well, I know some of you just went ahead and did it, which is great. I actually really do enjoy hearing people taking our newsletters and our podcasts and then making their own trades out of it. And the guys who got, you know, short or just some kind of bearish play in crude ended up doing well with that. So good for you. You don't have to listen to me verbatim all the time. You can take my ideas and what we're talking about and writing about and make it your own, which is usually the sign of a very experienced trader. And yeah, so I think that is about it. Again, we've got Memorial Day coming up, so we're closed on Monday. We'll be back in the office on Tuesday. We are basically in the grain markets planting. We're going to get everything planted. I mean, I know there are delays around the country. I know some places are a little too wet, you know, northeast Ohio. There's parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin and even into Michigan where they're a little behind, and it has a lot to do with just getting too much rain. But, you know, overall in the country, when we see the percentages and the planting progress, we're going to plant everything. So the next catalyst for to be bullish, other than this, you know, China-U.S. Trump stuff, is probably not until we're really in the thick of the weather markets for growing season, which isn't that far away. We're almost into June here. So we'll keep an eye on that. And it could be a busy month. You know, June and July have a way of being like that. If you ever have any questions for me, you want to talk to, you know, me about what it's like to be a client here on the spec side or the hedge side, feel free to contact me. All my contact information is in the show notes for these podcasts. And they're also on the website, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. Both of those URLs will redirect you to my page here at Daniel's Trading. So have a great Memorial Day weekend. And we will talk more about the markets next week. And thank you for listening and subscribing to the newsletter, being a client here at Daniel's Trading. All right, have a good weekend, everybody.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.